You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Underdog Podcast from SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty.
All right, football fans, welcome back to the Underdog Podcast, where we talk G5 football and only G5 football for Underdog Dynasty. And this is another episode of Joe Talk. And I'm one half of that, me, Joe Serpico. All the line, it's Joe Burback. What's up, Joe?
What's up? What's up? How you doing?
We have reached another Monday, and even though it was only four games this weekend, there were four pretty, let's just say, three eventful games this weekend. In a wild weekend in college football, let's say that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like all
very, very
board,
wild.
All across the board. I mean, inside the conference, everything kind of went a little bit as planned, I guess you would say, as far as the teams that won. I would argue that all four teams that won were, yeah, all four teams that won were the favorites. So it really doesn't come as a surprise that those four teams win, but it's kind of how some of these teams won this week. So I guess we've got to start with that UCF game. They barely snuck it out. I don't want to say barely snuck it out. Let's just get right to down to it. Memphis's clock management at the end of that game, there's really no excuse for that right there. I mean, it was just flat out terrible. I'm still in shock, and I know you are too. I mean, you had the 10-second runoff and then the completion inbounds ruined a game that honestly Memphis dominated for the good portion of the game until basically the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was. I was so frustrated with how the game ended. Not like I wasn't like mad at Brady White or Tony Pollard or, you know, whoever, but it was just like with how that game was going, it was such a disappointing way for the game to end, you know?
I mean, I almost thought that basically as soon as Memphis got the ball that they were going to win that game. I don't know if you had the same feeling. Granted, I did pick Memphis to win, so I was kind of hoping for it a little bit too.
Yeah, with how the game was going, it definitely felt like they had UCF's number, but then in the second half they came out and then the rain came, and I'm not going to blame the rain because UCF was a good team. It's not like they lost to
it. The rain definitely played a factor for both teams.
Yeah, but and then like I said,
the first half, I mean, they were kind of going after each other a little bit, and then in the second half it was a completely different game.
Right, and it affected both teams, so it's not like you can say, oh, well, Memphis really struggled because of the rain. It's like, well, UCF played in the same conditions and did just fine. But it was – well, here's the thing. I wanted them to get a chance to score points, but they didn't score any points in the second half, so you can't really, like, get upset that they didn't get a chance because they had all the whole second half to do so. Mm-hmm. But –
game from Henderson too.
Well, I told my fiance, like, I literally can't write this recap because I'm so frustrated with how this game ended. Not because Memphis lost, but it was just so annoying that that's how it ended because that game was so good, as someone predicted. Thank you very much. But it just didn't end how the game was going, which is frustrating.
No, I totally understand what you're saying in the sense of that you don't want just the clock to run out. Like, you want it to be a fourth down play that decides the game, not something just as, you know, just as simple as that. And that penalty, I mean, that really did it right there. That's a huge penalty in that spot.
Yeah, it was the beginning of the end. And then they have the last play that – there's still 18 seconds left, and they use all 18 on one play. It was just – and I'm like, I'm okay if Riley Patterson comes in and misses a field goal, but he never even got a chance.
Exactly. No shot whatsoever just because of poor management was all around. I mean, in all honesty, all around.
And UCF fans are really worried.
Yeah, I know. Let you go on your little tangent on that real quick, too, while you're at it.
Well, it's just – I don't know. It was like – it was the same thing with Alabama last year with UCF. So UCF had this undefeated season. They claimed national championship, and Alabama fans got super sensitive about it. And now UCF's trying to repeat their undefeated season, and they look vulnerable. Memphis was up 30-17 at halftime, and they were controlling the game. Like, there was no doubt about it. Anybody that watched that game saw what was going on. And UCF fans came into this game thinking, oh, we're going to win by double digits. It's not even going to be close. But then all of a sudden they're down 13 at halftime, and then they come back and they win by one, thanks mostly to a penalty and a terrible play. But then I write the recap, and the first thing I said was that UCF looked vulnerable, which is a true statement if you watch the game. And people were just getting all over me, like, why would you post something so negative? Like, why are you pushing UCF in a negative light? Like, it was just like, where is this coming from? Like, are you that sensitive that your team might have lost and someone's like called it out and you can't handle that? Like, what the heck?
That's every fan base, though.
I know, but, well, yeah, I don't know. I'm not making friends in the state of Florida these days, but...
No, you're not whatsoever.
But that, I didn't say anything like your team sucks. I just said your team, like, I literally stated something that you can prove is that they looked vulnerable. And I think everybody that watched the game could agree.
I'm not arguing you.
You better not.
I believe everything you say always.
That's a lie.
Everything. We agree about everything we do on this podcast.
Yeah. Our podcast would be so boring if we did.
I guess let's talk the other Florida game since you're just in a good mood about these teams right now. Another one, and all honestly, you can make the same argument about everything you just said about UCF, you can say about USF right now too.
But the only difference being that USF, it's been for the last three weeks.
I mean, USF is, it's not like they're pounding teams as of late either. I feel like USF is in close games a lot too.
And that was the same thing last year too. They'd struggle right away, and then they'd have to come back against bad teams, and they had to do it against Tulsa. They needed 15 fourth quarter points to beat Tulsa.
Now you're like kind of beating up on Tulsa, but I guess we can finally say, I guess, a little bit that Tulsa actually looks pretty good defensively. They talked about it a lot in the game. I didn't really watch the game a whole lot, but I did know that every time I was listening in, it seemed like they were talking about Tulsa's defense.
Yeah, they're a lot better.
Because they're good. Like, it's not like there's been a game where they've just been beat up. Like, they hold their own for the most part. It's just offensively, they're terrible.
Well, when your quarterback goes 6-for-21 for 79 yards, that's...
Exactly.
That's tough.
Exactly.
I mean, their running game's just fine. And their defense is better. I think Tulsa
just stacked the box on them. I mean, obvious. Yeah. And then, yep. You know what I mean? Quarterback can't do anything to help them out.
I think Tulsa's a better team than a lot of people realize. Like, their 1-5 record doesn't really...
I was going to say, they're better. Yeah, they're better than their record.
Yeah, and I have them higher in the... I moved them up, actually, in the power rankings this week.
Whoa. That's not saying much for this conference, though.
Well, that's also true.
Anything else you want to say about the Bulls that game? Because, honestly, I mean, they were losing 24-10. Until a minute left in that third quarter, and then, like you said, ripped it up in the fourth quarter there.
I mean, if you want to justify...
Was that more about Tulsa blowing it, or, you know, USF finally coming alive in that fourth quarter?
Probably a combination, but...
That's a cop-out.
I would probably say it has more to do with how... Like, Tulsa's a better team, but they're still not a good team. I'd be curious to see how many yards they had in the fourth quarter. Tulsa, that is. I bet you they got torched in the fourth quarter.
It seems like the fourth quarter they never touched the ball.
Yeah, which that's I mean, that has nothing to do with the defense. Like, the offense has to do their part eventually.
Mm-hmm. No arguments there. The other game inside the conference, two more games, but another bigger game, I guess you would say, inside the conference, was that Temple 24-17 win over Navy. Important note that I have down here, which kind of caught my eye, was Ventel Bryant, 62-yard touchdown. It was his first touchdown since 2016, which is, doesn't sound like anything, but it's also a little bit weird considering the fact that he is catching 42 consecutive games, but this is his first touchdown in basically a year and a half almost.
Well, it seems
2 years.
It seems like he's been at Temple for, 10 years.
Also true. I say that about who was I having this argument with the other day? What's the guy's name from TCU? Turpin. I feel like he's been there for forever also.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago actually.
Yeah, he's been there forever. There's certain guys you always get that sense about.
Right, yeah. Well, I think last year you and I thought that he might be one of those guys that would break out.
He disappeared last year and was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, which was crazy.
And he was, he did have some injuries, but he played in, I just said it. He had a catch in every game, so it's not like he was just like, but he just never became that dominant guy.
Yeah.
He was the dominant guy in this game. 8 catches, 147 and a TD. I think nobody else had more than 3 catches in the game. But otherwise, you said it before the show. I think also if you're going on the other side of the ball, the bigger key is that Navy's finally moved on from Malcolm Perry as their quarterback. I don't know what you really call that position they play there. But quarterback, and they've gone to Garrett Lewis. Not that it has really amounted to much. It seems like Navy this year, and I kind of called it this year, but I thought it was more going to be more of a schedule thing. But Navy just cannot get on track this year.
Well, you and I think kind of agreed on that, but I think you and I both also, like you said, thought that might have to do more with the schedule. But maybe it is the schedule. Maybe it's affecting him more than we think.
Before the game I was in the channel and I was talking about how nervous I was about this game just because of the Navy. I forget what the stat that I kept hearing was, and it was in my head, but something like Navy had never lost as a home underdog since like 2005 or something like that. And then here it is. Temple's the team to do it. So it was in my head for, a day and a half. And I almost changed it. And I even put Navy in my underdogs against the spread. It turned out to be a push, but whatever. I'll take that. That's a win in my book.
Yeah, year that pick is – those are legitimate concerns any other year, but it feels like – it's just not the same Navy team this year.
It's definitely not. You feel like that they're going to do exactly basically what they did in this Temple game, that in the fourth quarter, they're going to give it away. As opposed to years past where you're like, well, they'll always stick it around, and then maybe they'll, maybe they'll pull one out. This year, that you just know it's over by the fourth quarter, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is, as a Temple guy, I'm not caring about this week, so whatever. I will complain about this CBS Sports Network thing. I've about had enough of. I've complained about it on this podcast before. I pay $15 a month for a sports package, and somehow that is not included.
Yeah.
I don't understand. What am I paying for if I'm paying extra $15 a month for a sports package and I can't get that channel? If I want that channel, it's another $15 for one freaking channel. Not going to happen. Get it together, CBS Sports, Verizon, whoever I got to complain at. Absolute joke. All right, one more game inside the conference this past week, and that's Houston beating up on ECU 42-20. It sounds a lot closer than it actually was, considering ECU scored 2 touchdowns in the last 4 minutes of the game. That's basically just Houston. I mean, let's be honest. They don't care at that point. Anything about that game that really stood out to you? The thing that caught my eye was Ed Oliver strip sack that led to a touchdown. The guy's a monster. What else is new?
I think he had 5 tackles for loss and 2 sacks to go with that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is just a beast.
Yeah, he's...
And against a team, like, I love that he never takes a game off. Like, he could take this game off if he really wanted to. Nah. Let me just go out here and just dominate.
Right. And I feel... Maybe we might have to start talking about him more because next year we're not going to be able to talk about him.
That's also very true.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, let's just call this the Ed Oliver podcast from now on.
There you go. I like that. The EOP.
EOP. Mm. That's got a nice ring to it.
I like it.
Oh, hold on. No, that won't work. I tried to think of how we could use our name. Because there is an E and an O in there. There is an E and an O. We'll figure out something by next week for that.
Yeah, there we go.
We'll come back. We'll come back to that. On that note, let's dive into what's ahead in this upcoming week. And I said it to you before the show, something that really, really caught my eye. And when I said it to you, kind of stunned you a little bit too. And that is the 12 o'clock game that, again, features my Temple Owls taking on an undefeated Cincinnati team who is coming off a bye. All right? Cincinnati's coming off a bye, so they're going to have 2 weeks to prepare for this game. Temple is a 4-point favorite. I understand they're at home. I don't get this. Even as a Temple alum, I don't understand this line. Because Temple, even when they won, like this game against Navy this past week, hasn't been pretty. None of their wins have been pretty. Even that win against Maryland, I would argue that's just Maryland was self-imploding in that game. But to see Cincinnati as an underdog, even on the road, shocking to me.
Well, just I've been talking about all year. I feel like Cincinnati doesn't actually get the respect that they deserve. I think people respect USF more than they respect Cincinnati. But if you've ever watched any of their games, Cincinnati's more consistent. They look like a better team.
Don't tell USF fans because they've been arguing last week on their G5 rankings. We had a ton that were coming after us because Cincinnati was ranked higher.
Which they should be. Like, watch the game. I mean,
I agree with you. I have them ranked higher. I'm one of those people that have them ranked higher.
Yeah, I've had them ranked higher all year because they've looked better. I mean, well, okay. I wonder. Let me look at their schedule. Because USF has had 3 games against teams that weren't great.
USF's fans' argument is their 2 Power 5 wins.
But, like, beating Illinois is not...
It counts.
I know it does. I know it does.
That's what they're using to make it count.
But it doesn't matter. Like, there are still... I guess the thing with that is they'll use that argument for them now, but when it comes down to, like, you go back to last year with UCF and... The argument people are using against them is they don't have enough Power 5 teams on their schedule. So it's like they just pick and choose when they want to use that argument sort of thing. And Cincinnati has good wins against teams that aren't Power 5 teams that were also solid. I mean, they beat USF. They have 1 less win against Power 5 programs if you want to go by the numbers. So you can essentially just wash Illinois and UCLA. And so USF's claim to fame is that they beat Georgia Tech by 1. So I don't take that for whatever it's worth. But like Cincinnati, their only close win was against Ohio, and Ohio's a really good team. And everybody else, they've just been blowing them out. So it's just, I don't know.
Did you watch the USF game?
Against Tulsa?
Yes.
No. I watched like a replay of it.
At one point, they put up a stat, and it was the numbers, or excuse me, the record of the teams in Florida for the past 3 years. 3 years. And they were trying to make the argument that USF has been the best team in Florida the past 3 years. And I thought that was kind of like, you know, almost using this almost using stats against UCF, to be honest, because we all remember that. I mean, the year before last year, UCF was terrible. That's what made their run last year even more magical. Just the year before, they were so good. So I thought that was a little bit interesting that you know, they went out of their way to, you know, and I mean, it's true. Don't get me wrong. The numbers were true. If you look at it, the records over the past 3 years, they are the best team in Florida. That's what I mean. I think for this year, and then even as a program, I think they still have question marks moving forward, because even Barnett, if I remember correctly, he's basically a one and done. So then they're back in the same situation next year, trying to figure out who's their quarterback.
Right, and it's like, you don't win a trophy for it, so why does that matter?
Also very true too.
I get it's bragging rights or whatever, but it doesn't matter. It's just, they're just numbers. Oh, we have more wins than you in the last whatever, however many years. Yeah, well, UCF won the Peach Bowl and claimed a national championship, and USF won in the Birmingham Bowl. Like, who cares?
And that was supposed to be USF last year. Instead, it was UCF. I think that's what makes it sting a little bit more for them, at least.
It's, I don't know. It's one of those things, it's like, they bring it up and you're like, okay, cool. Like, it doesn't matter. You're not the better team right now.
No, I don't think there's any argument there. We'll go find out in a few weeks. A couple more weeks and that war on I-4 will be here.
How do we get here? How do we get from Cincinnati? Oh, we're talking about Cincinnati.
We're talking about Cincinnati.
God, we get off on some great tangents. I love it.
It's awesome. Who cares? We get what we want to say out.
But that's okay. So then, bringing it back to Cincinnati, it's just they're not getting the respect, and I think that might have something to do with it. Is people just assume it's about a brand, and right now Cincinnati doesn't have the same brand that they used to, and USF does because they win 10 games a season or whatever. But that doesn't make you a better team just because your brand is better.
No arguments there. Cincinnati has never been a sexy team, though. You know what I mean? Like, they don't do anything. They never have, in my eyes. Like, even when they were, like, back in, what was it, 5-10 years ago? They were always in the running for the top 25 not too long ago, I feel like. But they were never, again, they were never really a team that stood out. But they were always solid. And then they had those years off, and I feel like people have completely forgotten about them. And now they're back, hopefully. We'll see. I think it only helps out the conference if there's another team that steps up, like Cincinnati.
Yeah, it helps that three teams from the AAC East are undefeated, but only one of them is going to remain undefeated at the end of the year. And
that's not even a guarantee.
Well, yeah, right. But, like, literally the schedule will only allow it. But, yeah, like you said, there's no guarantee that any of them will remain undefeated. But, I don't – yeah, it's just – but I don't know. Does, like – does that make the argument? Like, again, like, you look at the Big 12. They don't have an undefeated team.
Also very true.
But because they have a brand, like, they're better, you know? Like, does that make them –
That's the conference that I feel like we should always look at. For some reason,
throw in the Pac-12 too.
Well, yeah, I can't argue that too. Those two conferences, why are they not on the same level? Because there is, you see that, and we've talked about this in the past. So they don't have an ECU and a UConn. That's our problem.
Yeah,
that's the issue.
Well, yeah, depth's going to be an issue for a while, but. The easiest way, which is not very easy at the same time, for the AAC to get more recognition is to keep getting those Power Five wins. Because if you keep winning those games, and people are going to see, too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's like the only way they can do it right now. No one's just going to be all of a sudden wake up and say, "Oh yeah, AAC should be a power conference."
They are. They're the Power Six. We're here to help you out, Mike. Don't worry about it.
Power Six, and we have the defending national champions.
Amen. somehow we went from talking about a game this week to all the way to that.
Great.
Let's talk more games this week. Let's talk a game between 2-1-5 teams. And I guess I would have never honestly thought that. Honestly, maybe Tulsa I did see at 1-5, but I never honestly would have expected Arkansas to be 1-5 at this point of the season. Arkansas is a 5.5-point favorite, and I think it's a little bit interesting. You know, this is one of two games this week where we have an AAC team taking on an SEC team. So maybe this is the week that we can. I don't think they're going to win either game, to be honest, but maybe make an impression if they were to pull off an upset.
I'm surprised that Arkansas is only favored by 5.5 points. Like, I get that they're not are they the worst team in the SEC? They're down there, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're one of the worst, and Tulsa's one of the worst in the AAC, which I know we just said that they're better than the record indicates, but it's Arkansas. It's not USF.
I mean, I have no arguments there. I agree with that. I actually was a little bit surprised to see this one, too. Granted, I'm not watching Arkansas play every week, so I don't know just how good or bad they have been. But from what I've seen from Tulsa, especially offensively, you might be seeing that line in a couple days from me. I know I'm supposed to put underdogs against the spread, but we're going to be taking a favorite right here.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to go after a winner and easy money. Another interesting game, I guess, will be this week is two teams that had the week off last week, so they've had a couple weeks to plan each other out. But they're two teams that we both have really talked about this year. We really have no idea what to make of them. And that is SMU taking on Tulane. Tulane is a 7-point favorite, which doesn't really surprise me considering, again, we don't know what to make of either one of these teams. I will make the argument that Tulane has the better two wins, I guess. That's really the only reason why I guess they're a 7-point favorite. But again, this game is going to be hard to pick when we have to make our pick on later this week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's probably... Either
team wins, I'm not surprised. The only thing I would be more surprised about, honestly, if somehow SMU just comes out and blows this game out.
That would be surprising.
That would surprise me. If Tulane wins by double digits, I don't think I would be necessarily surprised. But if SMU comes in there and does it, I will be a little bit surprised. But I don't see that happening. I don't.
Well, and we've been talking about all year about the number of teams that we don't know what to make of. And I don't think
these
two
are it. Yeah. I think these two are really the two.
And I never put together like SMU and Tulane, I don't know what to make of them. And then realizing, oh, they play each other and I'm going to have to pick a winner between those two.
Might be the hardest game we're going to pick in our pick 'em all year is this one. Because there are two teams that are every week they're different. Maybe not SMU, because we've talked about it before. SMU is, they got pounded in those first couple games, and I think that was more because of the schedule. And then maybe the 2 weeks off, maybe they got things fixed. But then, and again, even those 2 weeks off, maybe they are prepared more for Tulane's option as well. But then you could say the other way around. You know, maybe Tulane's worked in some things that SMU hasn't seen in these 2 weeks off for them.
What did you say the line was again?
7.
Tulane?
Yeah. Which does seem a little bit... It seems high, but like I just said, like I wouldn't be surprised at the same time if Tulane wins by double digits.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's at that number. I do think that's high. I don't understand why Arkansas is 5.5 and then Tulane is 7. Like, I could totally see it being the other way around. That would make more sense in my eyes. But what do I know? Vegas knows more than I do, I guess. They're making millions and millions and millions, and I'm not.
Not yet.
It'll be coming. I'll hit that lottery one day.
Just remember your favorite podcast co-host when you do.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I'll spread all the love. Don't worry.
There you go.
I'll spread all the love. And then I'll even try to bribe UCF to get in the playoff.
I like it.
It'll be enough money.
I'll contribute my money.
All right, touche. We can do all
that. My money that you're giving to me, so I'm going to give it back to you.
Fair enough. All right, that works. Donation. I donate to you and you donate it back. Look at that. Being a nice tax write-off for both of us.
Exactly.
Oh, God, we're thinking way too far ahead. Other game that's at the 3:30 slot there, it's Houston traveling to Navy. Houston is a 5-1. They are a 13-point favorite at Annapolis. That number that was stuck in my head last week will probably be stuck in my head all again this week. How they haven't lost all those games as an home underdog, but I don't think we really talked about it a whole lot when we were recapping Houston, but Houston's offense has been very impressive all season long. I don't think we've really gave them enough credit for it this year, to be honest. I mean, King, every game is an automatic 3 touchdowns. You know it's coming.
I said that we should start the conversation about King being one of the best quarterbacks in Houston's history.
No argument there. I mean, he's getting close to, well, at least I would think in the numbers this year, Greg Ward territory, is he not?
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to eclipse that. I mean, he's not gonna be like a Case Keenum. Like, he's not going to produce stats. No. But, like, if you watch the games, he's a more complete quarterback than Case is because he can run, too. And his passing looks – I mean, his passing looks phenomenal. Like, he's making throws that I – it's just – is there's no hesitation in any of his decisions. And – some of the balls he's thrown are just perfect. And then you throw in the fact that he, like, they'll call design runs for him, and he can scramble. And he doesn't have the most rushing yards, but he's going to look a lot better than like a Greg Ward would in terms of combination of passing and rushing. Like, he's so good, and I don't think people realize that. And I think it's time to start talking about it.
Do you think he's a better passer than Greg Ward?
Oh, easily. Not even question.
Which is interesting considering they both started as wide receivers and switched over.
Yeah, but
and then you can make the argument also that the next level, probably the same thing for Derek King, though. Like, will he have to make the same switch?
If he can keep passing the way he is, then no. But it's an uphill battle regardless. Just because he's like, what, 5'11", and that's always going to be something people talk about.
Uh-huh. I think that's what's going to hold him back. Which, I mean, kind of held Greg Ward back, too, his size. He was a little guy. But Michael Vick made a career out of that kind of body.
God, Michael Vick was good.
Yeah, I know. He was just a different breed. Now everybody's compared to him, which kind of sucks.
Well, I think it's just a lazy comparison. You have every position is like you have those comparisons because people love comparisons. Like NFL draft, it's all about, oh, well, who is he most like? Like no one's – I mean, even like Ed Oliver is compared to Aaron Donald, which if you're going to compare someone, Ed Oliver, to someone, that's probably the closest you're going to get. But Ed Oliver and Aaron Donald aren't the same player. So it's like I get it, but at the same time, I don't understand why we're so obsessed and we need like a comparison, you know?
Because that's what gets the clicks.
Yeah.
That's what gets the views. That's what gets with all the good stuff. That's what gets us paid.
That's true.
The few bucks we get.
Hey, better than nothing.
I agree. Better than nothing. I ain't going to make no argument about that. All right, let's go into the other AAC versus SEC matchup, and that's Memphis taking on Missouri. Missouri, a 9.5-point favorite, which I guess shouldn't surprise again because it is an SEC school. So I guess what my argument or what the topic I guess we'll talk about here is, can you see Memphis pulling off an upset here?
Not after last week, to be completely honest.
That's kind of the boat I'm in, too.
I don't know. Even if they did beat UCF last week, I don't know. It's... Yeah, I don't know. It's just... It's a different... And we saw... Okay, we saw... I guess here's my argument for why it wouldn't matter. We saw what happened to Memphis when they got behind. Like, Memphis offense can score a lot of points. But we saw what happened when they get behind against Tulane. And we even saw what happened when UCF was coming back and the pressure was on the offense to score. They just couldn't handle it. And Missouri's going to score points on Memphis's defense. So... Missouri's offense is just so good that I don't see a way that, like, Memphis can't get in a shootout with them, but it's going to be because that's how good Missouri's offense is.
I think Missouri's going to come out pretty upset, but getting handed to them by Alabama too, and they didn't even get the beatdown that Alabama's given to most teams.
Right? Yeah, 39-10.
I mean, that's being pretty generous considering what they have done to a lot of teams this year. And if you look at, I mean, there are other two losses, or the other two losses other than Alabama. One was to Georgia. I mean, can't knock them for that one. And then a loss on the road to South Carolina where they put up 35 points. So, yeah, like you said, I think they're going to score a ton of points. Because I think this is a game where they're going to just be like, you know what, we need to shake off what happened last week and kind of try to run it up on Memphis if they can. And you said it, I don't think Memphis, I don't want to say they're in the same category as some of the other teams, but they're not the same team offensively that they were last year, that's for sure. And did you see Anthony Miller's catch the other day, by the way, speaking of
Memphis? No.
Oh my God, the kid's so good.
Because he's been hurt for a while.
Yeah, he played yesterday, and he had an amazing catch. Kid's so good.
He's so fun to watch.
Yeah, he's so good.
So is Daryl Henderson, though.
Yeah, he really is.
He just needs some help.
Well, his problem is that he plays for Memphis. He's going to be another guy almost like Anthony Miller. I mean, you know he's going to come out, and a lot of people are going to like him at the next level, but people are not going to know who he is, except for us, because we know everything.
You know who's, like, okay, so another guy in that same category, but to more of an extent, is his backup. Like, Patrick Taylor, no one knows who Patrick Taylor is, and he could start for a lot of schools.
Also true.
But he's stuck behind he's behind Daryl Henderson, and Henderson already doesn't get enough recognition. And then you throw in his backup, who people don't pay attention to even on his own team.
Mm-hmm. No arguments with that. I mean, they're both... It seems like almost every game they have 100 yards apiece. Like, almost every single game. They're putting up yards in bunches. And that's what... Honestly, if they're going to win this game, that's how they're going to win it. Those two are going to have to turn it out on the ground because, like you said, they can't get in that shootout. Because they'll stand no chance.
Yeah, they just can't. And at least we haven't seen anything this year that says otherwise.
Nope, they're definitely not the team from last year. And then the final two games of the week, I guess we can just lump them together because it features both Florida teams, the two undefeated Florida teams, that being UCF and USF, taking on the two worst teams in the conference. UCF will be taking on ECU. USF will be taking on UConn. So my question to you is, who wins by more?
That's a good question. Who wins by more? What are the lines?
Well, that's cheating.
I want to know the lines. That's helpful.
UCF minus 21. USF minus 32.5. Okay, let's put it this way. UCF is on the road. USF is at home.
I'll probably go UCF because, I mean, USF should score 70 points this game, but just because they just haven't proven anything, that's the problem. I want to say USF.
I'm going USF. I just think that UConn is just that bad. If Rhode Island can score 49, why can't USF?
Because it's USF. I know it's UConn, but it's USF, and I don't know. Maybe UConn being UConn trumps USF being USF, but
I think so.
I hope UConn.
Wichita State puts up a better fight.
I hope UConn wins.
Oh my God, you're starting a fire down there.
Good.
Do you think East Carolina's going to win too? Do you still think that ECU is going to make a bowl game?
You're never going to let that down, are you?
Nope. Every episode is going
to. I don't joke with you because you don't take everything seriously.
You said eight teams, and that was your eighth team.
Yeah, you made me pick a team, and I just said ECU for fun.
I didn't hold a gun to your head.
That's also true. Although our listeners don't know that.
No, we live in different time zones. That's why they can believe it.
That's true. No, I mean,
not with one where I could stick my hand through the computer, but that hasn't happened yet.
No, EC's not going to a bowl game. I don't know, even seven teams now, like your prediction of seven, like, I don't know.
I forget who I even said for seven. All right, so we got our three undefeateds. We said three undefeated.
Yep.
Our Houston we had in.
Memphis
was our fifth one. Where else were we going?
Well, we thought Navy at the time, but that's looking terrible. Well, and then you have SMU and Tulane.
I got Temple. That's six.
That's six, yep.
That's looking, we'll see. Let's just put it that way. That's it. It might be six only.
SMU, Tulane, and Navy are all like, I don't know.
But I guess at this point, it's more of they're gonna beat up on each other. I guess we'll find out which one of them, if one of them can sneak it out. Man, that means all those teams gotta go 4-2.
Yeah. Like, is that that's not happening?
Sticking by my number seven. Sticking by it though. Somebody will help me out.
My number eight looks awful.
Maybe my preseason prediction of SMU will end up paying off for me.
There you go.
To at least make a bowl game.
I like your prediction, but eight seems.
Eight's not happening.
When did we talk? That was like 2-3 weeks ago.
Oh, two or three podcasts ago. Yeah.
I think like at that point, like eight. If AAC got eight teams in, neither one of us would be super surprised. But now it'd be like it. So much has changed in those 2-3 weeks.
I remember back then not liking Navy. I know that. I've been against Navy all year, though. I don't know where you got eight, though. I don't know what you were drinking before you started.
Something changed. Wow.
I guess that's perfect time to end this episode. Looking back at how terrible we are at some things. But we're great at others.
Hey, at least we're not bad at Southern Miss.
Ooh.
I saw that and I laughed so hard.
Oh, it was nice.
You know, here's the thing. USF and UCF fans seem so much nicer than Southern Miss fans. Talk about entitlement. Good grief.
Yep, can't argue that.
I was so happy that they got killed.
And just to let them know, they're still not on our G5 rankings this week.
Yeah, your team sucks. Get over it.
They're not on our G5 rankings this week.
See, here's the thing. We can talk all we want about Southern Miss because not a single Southern Miss person is probably listening to this podcast. So we can say whatever we want.
And that's what makes it 100 times better.
God. Seriously, they were two and three, and whoever does our power rankings for Conference USA had them eighth because they came off a bye week. And people were like, we deserve to be better. Why, they don't know anything about Southern Miss. It's like, your team's 2-3. They're trash.
They're awful. And I can't wait to tag us in Southern Miss Talk this week. Bring it on. Just because Brett Favre went there.
God, talk about living in the past.
Just because Brett Favre went there. How do we get to Southern Miss? All right, that's it. We got to end this episode. Somehow we got on a Southern Miss tangent on the AAC podcast. If you're not following the Underdog podcast, or Underdog Dynasty, I should say, on Facebook and Twitter, make sure you do so. Leave us some reviews. Tell us how good me and Joe are. We like to hear it. Or tell us how bad we are. We don't care.
No, tell us how good we are. We need the boost.
Well, okay. He needs an ego boost. I'm all right. You can tell me how terrible I am. Nothing new for me.
You hear it every podcast when I talk to you.
Also very true. And I'll end the show with this question. Does Randy Edsall survive another week if USF blows them out by 50 points?
Yeah, let me ask you a question. If ECU loses by 50 points, does Scotty Montgomery get the – does he lose his job? We can get back to that now. For a while, we couldn't talk about that.
It would be about time.